Our text for today will be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you're physically able, would you stand? Let's just honor God as I read His word in your hearing. Then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse number 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Father, we bow together and we ask you to help us understand what you mean by what you have recorded here and what you've left for us to read and contemplate. Show us, Lord, how it applies to our lives, and then grant us great grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Our subject for today, again, is preparation for the work of ministry. Preparation for the work of ministry. Now, you might remember that, as we covered last time we were together, Paul is making an appeal here to the church at Ephesus for unity and maturity in ministry. For us to minister together, it requires both unity and maturity. All right? And so you might remember that Paul, as an apostle, had the authority to command them to be in unity and to command them to be, you can't really command a person to be mature, but you know what, he had the authority to command, to make commands, but he didn't do that. There's a different word used here. It's translated as urge. In your Bible, it might say appeal or exhort. It's a very familiar word to most of us, paraphileo, right? Means to come along beside. So rather than, he didn't try to drive them like people drive cattle. Right? And so he didn't try to beat them along, or beat them ahead. Or he didn't get ahead of them and try to preach down at them to come along. He says, I'm going to come along beside you, right? I'm going to come along beside you and urge you, right? I want to urge you to be in unity. I want to urge you to be mature. So that's the whole idea of his appeal. He makes the appeal because the work of the ministry wasn't getting done. And that's what I'm saying to us here at TCC. The work of the ministry needs to get done.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
The work of the ministry is lacking. And so we saw last time we were together that his appeal is based on what he has already laid down in chapters 1, 2, and 3. He uses the word therefore. Therefore points back to chapters 1, 2, and 3. We covered this last time. Chapter 1 basically reveals what God has given the Christian. Chapter 2 reveals what God has done for the Christian. And chapter 3 then reveals what the Christian knows or what the Christian should understand. Okay? So with that in mind, since we know what God has given the Christian, since we know what God has done for, when I say the Christian, if you are a Christian, you should know what God has given you.
Amen.
If you are a Christian, you should know what God has done for you.
Thank you.
And he says, you should know what God plans for the Christian to understand. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes, that's what we lack, and that's the reason I said should. Okay? And when those three things are brought together, Paul can now say, because of this, it's time to grow up.
Yes.
Right? It's time to be mature and be what? Unified.
Amen.
Because of what God has given you,
because of what he's done for you and because of what you know.
Amen.
You see, you can discipline, you discipline a child when you know the child knows better.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
It's wrong parenting to discipline a child when you haven't taught them better. Just because you were embarrassed, if you didn't teach them better, you are a bad parent to discipline a child when they're out and embarrass you and you didn't teach them, right?
Amen.
Now when you've taught them, now you can discipline them. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this is the issue here. It's for Ephesus and for Trinity Community Church. We know better. Yes, we did.
Amen.
So it's time for us to what? To do better. To him, to the one that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is
sin.
Not a mistake.
Amen.
Not a mistake, not an error, not a flaw, sin. Yes?
Amen.
Trinity, it's time for us to stop sinning.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
Because see, we're praying and asking God to do more for us when we're not faithful with what he's already done.
Amen.
To the one who is faithful over little, he will also be
faithful
over much. But to the one who is unfaithful over what is little, he'll also be unfaithful over what is much. That's the reason a parent, if a child has mishandled $5 and they're wanting 20, it's an unwise parent that goes ahead and gives the child $20 when you know they haven't learned to handle 5. Yes? And so God is a wise father. Yeah? And he's saying to us as his children, I want you to grow up, and I'm not going to pretend that you're handling things well and just move you along. Yes?
Amen.
Now I'm appealing to you because I'm walking along with you.
Amen.
I've made my own errors too.
Amen.
I got to grow up and you
yes.
have to grow up. Because we're going to see as we get further along here, my job is to equip you.
Amen.
Yes? To do the work of the ministry.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I confess that I have done some injustice by doing a whole lot of the work of the ministry. But my job is to equip you to do the work. Yes?
Amen.
That's what we're going to be talking about for these next few Wednesdays. It's how in 2019 you will begin to do the work. Not fussy. We're just starting to grow up, yes?
Amen.
All right. So, for the next few minutes, I want to look at these three thoughts, and we'll wrap this little section up. I want to look at the call. He speaks of a call here in these six verses. There's a call that God has made on every Christian's life. Then the character, God has put true character into every Christian. There is character already in us.
Amen.
And that character needs to come out of us. Yes? What's in the heart should come out. We're just saying about having a clean heart, right? And there's some things in our heart that need to be cleaned out so that the clean character can come out.
Oh, amen.
Yes? You see, when David committed that adultery with Bathsheba, he didn't blame anyone else, but he didn't repent until he dealt with his sin.
Yeah.
He had to realize that wasn't Bathsheba's fault, that wasn't anybody else's fault. I have to own my own sin.
Amen.
If it hadn't been in my heart, I never would have done it.
Right.
Yes?
Amen.
And so that's what we have to be when we look at character. What's coming out in our character, you can't blame other people for it. If it's coming out, what?
It's
in you.
That's right.
It's the reason it comes out is because it's what? In you. It's not because now there's other stuff in other people. Right? That's like blaming somebody. You got a big pulse thing on your arm. And you blame somebody else for pushing it. And bringing the pulse. The pulse wasn't in the other person. Or the pen or the needle or whatever. Yes?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, if that needle hadn't caused that puncture, you wouldn't be getting relief. And what many of us need to realize, when God uses somebody to bring out what's in you, that's for your good.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
And so all of us need to take a look at what's coming out. And the Bible calls it looking in the mirror. And stop denying what you see when you what? Look in the mirror. Yes?
Amen.
That's character and then culmination. And so don't you get all worried. If we don't get done, that's all right. We got next week. I just want to. That's kind of the plan, and we'll see how far we get today, all right?
Amen.
So don't get the tooling, get off busy on me. We're going to get you back out there in that cold weather soon, all right? So, and then we'll look at the call, the character, and what I call the culmination in verses 4, 5, and 6. All right. Let's dive in. So when I talk about the call, here's what I want you to see. There's two ways that God calls us. As sinners, the first thing he does is he calls us to salvation. So every true Christian has experienced what I'm talking about here. If you are a true Christian, you have experienced what I call the internal, the effective, and the irresistible call of God to be saved from condemnation and to be saved from sin. Until you recognize you need to be saved, you won't be saved. I thought I was all right until I was 28 years old. I heard plenty of preaching. I was brought up in the church, went to Sunday school, went up before the church and sat in the chair and got baptized. But until I heard God's call, I didn't come out of sin.
Amen.
Because I thought I was all right.
Amen.
I thought I was all right when I got baptized. I was still in my sin, but I've been baptized, you see. Thought I was all right because I had gone before the church and confessed. Thought I was all right because I knew some Bible verses. But I'm saying to you, my friend, if that's where you are not all right. You need to come out of that darkness and that slavery. So I'm saying that if you are a true Christian, you have heard this call. You remember how Jesus said it? John 10, maybe? My sheep hear what? My voice. I know them and they follow me. If you are a Christian, you have heard the voice. Now, I'm not talking about some mystical kind of thing. We hear inside. This is spiritual. Now, you might have heard somebody preaching, and that you heard that with your ear. I'm not talking about what you heard with your ear. I'm talking about what you hear with your heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
See, when I wasn't saved in the church. I was saved in a rehearsal downtown, and I wasn't even saved. But I heard God right there.
Amen.
Willie, you keep doing this, you're going to die.
Amen. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, you might have been in church. I don't know where you were. That's, you see, we weren't all riding a horse and, you know, heard a voice. But that's not the issue. You know, I'm not saying you had to be saved like me. I am saying you have to hear. You have to have heard from God, not from me. Too many people get saved by the preacher. The preacher can't save anybody.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Jesus said, the Bible is clear. Jesus came to do what? Seek and what?
Save.
And save the lost. There is no preacher that can do that.
Amen.
Or anybody else.
Amen.
Not me. No other human being. You understand? We good?
Amen.
Now, see, that's the reason I said we might not get done. That's okay.
Amen.
We got to get this.
Amen.
Because it's time. We got to get to work. We got to get to work. work done.
Yes.
If you're not a Christian, you don't need to be getting involved with work.
All right.
You see, it's disingenuous to get you involved if you're not saved.
Amen.
Too many churches do that.
Amen.
Somebody comes forward and you just want to put them to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. But now, on the other side of that, if you are saved and you're not working, you're lazy.
Amen.
We just got to talk straight. Because God didn't save you just to sit around. Right?
Amen.
It's too much work that needs to be done.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
He said, well, we're such a small church. Do you think the size of the church defines the work?
Yeah.
That's like your house. Right? You know, you may have 3 people in your family. There's another person got 12. Well, yeah, that's the dynamics are different, but the kind of work, the same kind of work needs to be done in the house with 3 as needs to be done in the one with 12.
That's right.
It may be more, you know, that's different. It may be more work, but I'm saying it's the same kind of work. Dishes still have to be washed. Trash still has to be taken out. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So the size of the church does not define the type of work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And just because somebody else has been taking out the trash for you,
not.
Doesn't mean that that's not your job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They just took it out because you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how that is in our home.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to do it, but as long as I let it sit here, it's going to stink. So I take it out now, and then I'm going to talk to you about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
We're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you don't invite guests over to your house to do your work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They need to be a part of what? The family. This is the family work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. You got to be called. God has to call you into the family. Now, once he's called you into the big family, then he sends you to a house,
mm-hmm.
a local family.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian, we're part of a huge family. it's going to be wonderful.
Yes.
What's this song? When all God's children finally get together. You were the family.
Yes.
But until that time, we got family right here. If you ain't enjoying the family right here, why would you be looking forward to your name?
Amen.
Some folks don't do that.
Amen.
Yeah. If you don't enjoy them down here, what makes you think you're going to enjoy them so much up there? You need to be sure you're going.
Amen.
I'm serious.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about here.
Amen.
That's right.
Y'all ever seen these 3 verses right here, Romans 8? Turn there. Romans 8, verses 28, 29, and 30. Very important. If you've not seen them before, they oftentimes debate it, but you don't need to debate the Word of God.
That's right.
What God has said, he means. Just because people have a difficult time accepting it, that's between them and God. Yes? You don't need to debate God's word. So, these verses right here, this is what God has to say. Romans 8, 28, most of you know it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called, what? According to his purpose. And then 29 and 30 are the ones that many Christians have difficulty with. But you shouldn't. If you don't have difficulty with 28, I call 28 the old rocket ship. You know, you love it when all things work together for good to know that love God and the call.
Yeah.
Well, then 29 says who those are.
Mm-hmm.
29 and 30 says, so if you're gonna like the rocket chair verse, then you need to like how you get in the rocket chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's what 29 and 30 says.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You can't enjoy the rocket chair without understanding how to get in it.
Amen.
That's a part of the problem. People want to enjoy the benefits of being a Christian without becoming a Christian. That's the way it's always been. When Israel left Egypt, it was a what? Mixed multitude. People always like to get the benefits, right, of the kingdom without being what? In. Judas was the same way. Judas loved all the benefits of running around with Jesus until it got to be where he wasn't benefiting as much as he wanted. Right? He had the treasury, he could steal all the money he wanted to. He got to travel around free and work miracles. But see, then it got to be where that wasn't enough. That's always the way it is. When you're hanging around for the wrong reason, it's eventually going to be where it's not enough for you. You need to make sure you're here for the right reason.
Amen. Amen.
If Jesus is not your reason, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work and the labor of who?
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord, for it's our labor in Him that's not in vain.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
You could be spinning your wheel 5, 10, 15, 20 years in vain.
Mm-hmm.
You know the end of Jesus' sermon there where he says that in that day many will come saying, Lord, Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
We preach, we did this, we did that. He didn't deny that they did that.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Depart from me because I never knew. You never were a Christian. You did a whole, you spent the majority of your life working in the church, and you never were saved. This is serious.
Yes.
So that's my concern. We're talking about going to work. But if you're not saved, you don't need to go to work. You need to be saved. It would break my heart to see you go to hell and doing some work that I asked you to do. See, I don't know. The Bible calls us fruit. I can inspect the fruit of your life, but only the Lord knows your heart.
That's right.
See? So I'm not your judge. But I promise you, you're going to have to meet Him. You need to be sure now. Yeah? And I'm not fussing. This is way too serious to be fussing about.
Mm-hmm.
We agreed on that?
Amen.
So, and I see, I may not get very far at all. But this, you see what I'm saying here? The call, first of all, is to salvation. And then, I'll leave that point with just saying this. The Holy Spirit reveals our desperate need to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm telling you that night when the Holy Spirit met me in that rehearsal, and I know many of you have heard my story before, but I literally felt like the Holy Spirit showed me, Willie, you're standing at a crossroad now. If you keep down this road, you're going to die. You can take the road that I'm showing you and you will live. The Holy Spirit showed me that I desperately needed to be. I was making money. I was having a good time. I thought I was loving life until I saw that I was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Don't believe this. I said a prayer, I bowed my head, and I said, oh.
Mm-hmm.
No, if that's all you got to go back on, you ain't saved. You haven't been saved. This is a miracle.
Yes.
If any man is in Christ, what?
He's a
new creation. I'm not what I used to be. I know that.
Yes.
And if you know me then, you know I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
you don't have to sneak around and try to find little things. If you're a Christian, you know it and everybody else knows.
That's right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know a tree by its fruit.
Hallelujah.
You need to look at your own fruit.
Yes.
And determine what, about the root, about where you're rooted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stop playing the game. And I'm not trying to discourage you, but coming to church is not going to make you right.
Amen. Amen.
Reading your Bible is not going to make you right.
That's right.
Bible study, I'm not dissuading you from doing any of that. But I'm saying you need to make sure you at least got in the race before you start running.
Amen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because Paul clearly said you need to make sure, if you're going to say I fought a good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, you need to make sure that you are actually in the right fight, in the right race, and keeping the true faith.
Amen.
I'm trying to leave this, but I mean, this is really, really important.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has to reveal to you that you need to be saved. And then it goes so much more further than that. Then it says the Holy Spirit will actually confirm to you that you got shot.
Amen.
He comes. You don't need me to confirm it. The Holy Spirit himself will come to you and prove to you that you belong to God.
Amen.
People all over your case, talking all, they got you all confused, but the Holy Spirit will come and say, you're mine.
All right. Yeah.
People may not believe it, but as long as
it's
right between you and God, let them talk.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You got to know that you say.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
That's what we are now in the kingdom. This is about to become serious. Souls are at stake.
Amen.
This is not a game. There's a reason we sing the song, I'm a Soldier. Right? This is warfare.
Yes.
And in warfare, people die. And I think Will and I were talking about this week at the gym. When you join, you're not ready to be a part of the military if you're not ready to die.
Right.
I mean, you don't go there, you know what I'm saying? You don't go there just planning to die. But you know, if you're not ready to die, you're not ready. I'm talking about some real, this is, you don't know when you're going to be called up for combat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
It's not a game. So you have to be prepared to go fight and possibly die if you're going to join.
Yes.
That's what I'm telling you, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
This is warfare.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
We got to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Every soldier is needed. We got some military people here.
Yeah.
What do you think it would be like in the infantry? But everybody's already, what? How are we going to fight together if we can't? If we can't even be together in a plan,
mm-hmm.
We know how can two walk together? What?
Let's
agree.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's just two.
Uh-huh.
We got more than two here. Mm-hmm. How can we walk together unless we agree?
Yes.
Man. Literally, it says have a point. Unless you agree on where you're going. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic.
All right. Now, I am not fussy. Right? So don't go back to, oh, we're all fussing. Man, I'm not mad. I'm not fussy. I'm just saying it's time to get serious.
Yeah.
And lastly, then, it's service, and we'll probably just end here. The call, first of all, is to salvation, and then it's to service or ministry. Every true Christian has, and I word it like this because you may not have already received this yet, but every true Christian has or will experience the internal call to serve the Lord in a particular way.
And what I'm saying to you is you cannot let me and others dictate to you how God wants you to serve. This is the reason I'm always reluctant to talk to anybody about what you need to do.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you what needs to be done, but whether you do it or not is between you, what? And the Lord. Right?
That's right.
And this is the reason I say we've got to stop believing that you can be comfortable, just be saved and sit around. Ephesians 2:10, who knows that verse? For we are what? His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works which he planned beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yes.
We have been created by God to do good work. Now it qualifies that. Good work, who defines good?
God.
It's certainly not you and I.
Amen.
We are his workmanship created for good work. And that's what every Christian here ought to be serious about. What is the work God saved me to do?
Yeah.
If you can't answer that, you see the dilemma?
Mm-hmm.
Week after week, you're just wasting time. You're going to wake up. I'm 68. Well, what's this, 19? Yeah. I'll be 68. You see, that's a problem. I will be 68 this year. If you don't get serious, you don't. I know you think you got plenty of time. But I promise you, the weeks go by. You get in a routine. You find yourself doing the same thing over and over. And you're going to find out you have wasted weeks and months and years not doing what the Lord saved you to do.
That's right. That's right.
Romans 12 lists out a number of ways to serve. Talked about the gift of prophecy. We've gone through these gifts many times before. But it's time for you to begin to apply this now. If God gave you a gift, he plans for you to use it. That's the reason some people can speak so directly to you. That's not because they don't love you. It's that some people have the gift of prophecy. They can cut through all this fluff. The prophet can see through that. Now, and it frustrates the prophet that you can't see it. It frustrates somebody with the gift of prophecy that you would have the audacity to come to them like that when they can see through it. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
They see you just coming with excuses. God gives people that gift. And they need it in the body. And he says, you got the gift, now use it. Or the gift of teaching. Some people have the gift of giving. God needs you because the body needs help. You give and you don't even want people to see. You're not looking for some kind of fame or applause. You got the gift of giving. It's just what you do.
That's right.
Or the gift of mercy. Or you've been through all that. Gift of exhortation. You got the gift. You can come along beside people. And we got all of that right here. I know. I've told many of you that. The body needs you to go to work.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
We're hurting. Yeah. And we don't need to look to anybody else. God has already done it right. And you say,
yes.
God said, I appoint people in every congregation. You didn't come here by luck and chance. We don't believe in luck and chance.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
God appoints people in the congregations where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
That's right.
So he brought you here because this church needs you and what God has put in you. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit reveals needs inside and outside the body of Christ.
Then he shows us ways that we can meet them. That's ministry. Listen to me, please. This is why we need to go to work. There are needs in here. When I say in here, in the body here, there are needs outside this body. You have been equipped to meet them. God is saying, stop procrastinating. Stop all your excuses. Go to work. All of us have been on jobs where people around you are not doing their job. Does that mean you don't do yours? Right? I don't report to the people around me. Do you let the people around you dictate the standard? They show up late, so you show up late? That means when everybody gets fired for being late, who's going to be among them? Right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, I'll read the statement and then we'll wrap it up. Because of what God has given, because of what God has done, and because of what God has revealed to us, we should live in a manner worthy of this calling to salvation and ministry.
Amen.
God has done too much for us not to live worthy of Him saving us, not to live worthy of Him giving. He has given us work to do.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for anybody in here saying, I don't know what to do. Now, I'm not telling anybody in here to be a maverick. If you see something that needs to be done, let's talk about it.
Amen.
But there is too much that needs to be done for you to say there's nothing for me to do. Open your eyes. Now, think about this. I'm saying ministry means service. There are too many needs in our congregation to say that there is no work to do. Open your eyes and start looking for needs, not some title. That's what I'm talking about. When we think of ministry, we think about some title that the church is going to give me. That's not ministry. Ministry means service. There are plenty of ways you can serve. Now, if a title comes with it, that's wonderful. But whether you got a title or not, just go to work.
Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. I ask you to forgive me for any way that I muddied, mixed the message, or confused anyone. Forgive me, Lord, for where my words were weak. Just I pray that anything that was not from you would fall to the ground.
Amen.
But Lord, anything that you intended for your people to hear today, I ask you to rivet it to our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we're asking you to come now. Meet us here in this place. Holy Spirit, speak clearly now in this place. Holy Spirit, work real conviction in our hearts in this place. Holy Spirit, search us, know our hearts. Try us and know our anxious thinking. Search us and know our excuses and our procrastination. Search us, Lord, and reveal truth to us. And Lord, for those who you know have served you and have done your will, bring real comfort and encouragement and consolation. Because today, Lord, we have met, we have come here to have a real meeting with you. And as we go down from this place, that's Our sole desire is to hear from the Lord. Speak, Lord. Your people listen.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's bow together for a few minutes and